Let's just say y'all may be seated. How many believe he's your day star? Peter said, when the day star rises in your heart, we've had a day star rise in this hour to give us a more sure word of prophecy. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in the beauty of God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your love, of your love. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me the things I've never seen before. I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. I see a world that's dying. It's wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me the things that I've never seen before. I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak to me. Show me the things that I've never seen before. Your witness, you can take all my wrong and make it right. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night, in the night. Amen. May we all stand tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. We got a message to take us out of this darkness. Amen. A day star has come in this hour. Amen. Thank God we have it. I tell you, for those that's betraying it and defecting it, I'm so sorry. But I'm enjoying it, aren't you? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, and it's good to be with you. Genesis, the 32nd chapter, Genesis 32. And if you could hold Genesis 35 for me, Genesis 35 and Genesis 32. Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I'm happy to be a part of this meeting. It was 17 years ago that I first met Brother Jerry and come to Dixon, and I was probably one of the first to preach in this pulpit. So here we are again celebrating these meetings. The Lord's been with us and growing in grace and knowledge, even though the trials that we have been through only makes us stronger in the Lord. Amen. A real believer, trials will make you stronger in the Lord. It won't take you away from the message. It'll give you a greater revelation of the message. Hallelujah. Genesis 32. Now, I would like to, if I could give this a title tonight, From Church to Bride. From Church to Bride. Brother Branham tells us, if the bride can only recognize, when she can recognize who she really is, then the rapture will come. And you have to understand three things by revelation, saints of God. It's not a mental conception. It's not something we can just understand it as we read a newspaper or read a history book. But you got to understand who Jesus really is. You've got to understand who Brother Branham really is. Then you've got to understand who you really are. Amen. When that happens, I want to tell you, if you got Jesus off gauge as some second or some this, and if you got Brother Branham in the wrong place, you'll never see yourself in the right place. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Let's stop right there. Hold that place, please. And let us pray and ask God's blessing over the reading of the word. And then we can be seated. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord, as we prayed back into the office, we asked that your spirit would take control, Lord. Lord, this vessel that stands here and these people, Lord, that are dedicated to you in this hour, Lord, this dying hour, but we see a day star has arose in our hearts, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And Father, may it illuminate us again tonight by the power of your word. May the fire of the Holy Ghost come, Lord, and anoint us. Light up this altar tonight. Light me up, Lord. Light your congregation up here. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, we pray, and all the saints of God can say, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Y'all may be seated. As you know, I'm a coat off preacher. Let us go on and read in Genesis 32 here. This gives the account where actually Jacob is wrestling with the Lord. It says here in verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, this is the name that Rebekah gave him. As you probably heard my message back in May when I was here on the birthright, we talked greatly, we discussed greatly, we preached greatly about Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau and Jacob were twins. They came from the same mother and the same father. They were both drastically different. One God hated, one God loved. So we're talking about the one that God loved because it was by predestinated love. As Brother Branham called it, elective love. Now notice here, it says verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Israel means a prince with God. A prince with God. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Now look at the name, Brother Jerry, that goes with the meaning of prince Israel. Notice now, as we see here, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He had a real experience with the Lord, saints of God. Amen. He had a real experience with God. I want to tell you, we may not have an experience directly like this, as I preached about 3 weeks ago, but you've got to have some type of experience with the Lord. Amen. It's not an intellectual conception of the message. I want to tell you, when people have intellectual conceptions of the message, they usually end up backsliding or defecting. Amen. It takes an experience with God. Now you say, Brother Bo, now Brother Branham said, no, wait a minute. You can have an experience with God and still be wrong. And a real experience with God down in the heart will lead you and keep you directly in the Word always. Amen. He says, notice now in verse 31, as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. And verse 32, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of thy thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now notice here, saints of God, Jacob receives a name change. Amen. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Shouldn't God only have to tell his servants, including us, one time? Shouldn't God have to speak but one time, and that should suffice? Ain't I right? Amen. God's word, he speaks his word. He speaks through his prophet. He speaks through his apostles. He speaks out. He should only have to say it one time. Once is enough. Amen. Now go to chapter 35, verse 9. Now, many times God will say things to us and speak to us, and we're not ready for it. Come on now. Genesis 35, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paran and blessed him. Verse 10, and he said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Now, this is time number two, saints of God. No wonder Brother Branham said it like this in the masterpiece. He said, Abraham represented faith. Now remember, they were the patriarchs of the Old Testament. God built the body of the Old Testament upon these four patriarchs, and then the prophet was the body, the prophets were the body work. But the foundation was Abraham, faith. Isaac, love. Jacob, grace. Amen. Joseph, perfection. Amen. Now here we are, he's changing his name the second time. As we said, what shouldn't one time be enough? Notice now, verse 11, and God said unto him, I am Almighty God, be fruitful and multiply a nation, and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Verse 14, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, and even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. Again, Jacob's name is changed again by God. And we're going to see why in just a moment. Notice now, Here he offers, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. We're getting in where he offers a drink offering. Notice he pours it with oil and water, and it becomes actually, we'll see some of the first drink offerings that were offered. But notice, I want to get into this tonight really, and see how God works. He changed his name the second time. Brother Branham said, when he was preaching the first seal, or actually he preached the breach, and then he goes over to the first seal. Now remember, we are a people that's worshiping God under the seventh seal, because the seventh seal, which is Revelation 10, had to be opened first. The thunders open the other six seals. If the seventh seal was never opened, the six seals would have not been opened. Can I get amen on that? Amen. Now notice, Brother Branham, a great, great change come in his ministry when he's preached the seals, and it came up higher. Amen. This is why we're worshiping. We're not worshiping like denominations. We're not worshiping like the Pentecostals. We're not worshiping like the world works. Brother Branham said here in the breach, the bride went in. There's a whole difference between church and bride. He said it is only to be revealed at the last day when the actual seal is broken. He said broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Now notice, oh my, he said, that just makes me humble. He said, I hope that the church truly understands it. He said, see what I mean now? I'm going to call you bride. You understand that. So he's declaring, Brother David, he's declaring a new name. We're going from church to bride. Amen. Now let me ask you this question. God has spoke through his prophet. He has told us who we are, who we have come up to be. We're no longer just the church. Amen. We're no longer church natural. We're no longer church denominational. We're no longer church organizational. We're no longer church lukewarm. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. But we are now bride. We are bride now. Now, how many, come on, including me, when Brother Branham proclaimed this, and when you first heard this years ago, how many of you were ready to walk in bride material?
My arms are down. Yeah.
Come on, saints, be a minute now. As Brother Donnie would say, nobody in here's got halos over their head. I don't see no angel's wings. How many were really ready to walk as bride? When you first heard this, you talk about the grace of God in our lives over predestination, saints. I want to tell you, real grace can only take effect under predestination. Amen. These people out here in the world, they think because they come to the altar and they can get saved and they receive the grace of God and all of that, that's all well and good. But let me tell you, that's not the fullness of the grace of God. Remember, there's levels of the grace of God. There's saving grace. There's sanctifying grace. There's grace that gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then there's rapture in grace. See, we got to move, Brother Bill. We got to move. We want to hang around saving grace all the time. We got to move into rapture in grace. We got to move into rapture in grace. We got to be bride material now. Our name has been changed, saints of God. We have gone from Jacob, which means supplanter, deceiver, shyster, amen, liar, unto Israel, prince with God. Jacob was a prince with God. What is the bride of Christ? She's a, when a daughter of a king marries, what does she become? She becomes a princess. Amen. We are the princess of God. I want to tell you, saints, we've got to come up in the level of grace. Come on, you young people, just don't call for saving grace. That's wonderful. We want to be saved. We want to call for salvation. We want to come under the blood. We want to come under the water of the word. But we've got to call now for rapture and grace. How many of us are really ready for our name to be changed to bride? Brother Bo, tell me the definition of bride. Brother Branham tells you the definition of bride. He says, in perfect faith. When a man lives by faith and walks by faith. Now, Brother Branham brought the level of faith up to a perfect faith. Perfect faith, faith which worketh by love. Perfect love produces perfect faith. Amen? Now, notice now. And when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith. This is definition of bride now, okay? Not your definition, not my, not brother so-and-so's or sister so-and-so's or Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or any of them, but Brother Branham's definition of faith. He said, I mean a substance faith. To be isolated from the entire world and become a new creature in Christ. Well, I tell you, I see more and more message folks rubbing shoulders with the world more and more and more. Whoo. Somebody told me one time, they said, if you really want to see who a person really is, just watch what they post on Facebook. Whatever they always want to post on Facebook, they're really bringing out what's really inside of them. 10 years ago, you couldn't do that. 20 years ago, you could hide it in the closet, Brother Bill, a little bit more. He said, notice, there now you're getting into bride material. You see, you're getting into rapturing condition. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, and the trustees, that means for the entire laity. Of course, we got double standards, remember that. Every individual walks in a world with God and God alone. You're baptized into his kingdom and there's nobody in there but you and God. Nobody can pull you out of it. Nobody can talk you out of it. Come on, let's go out. Let's all go out and hang out in Nashville tonight and go, can we party all night? Nobody can, well, come on, my friend. I want to hang out. I want to hang out. I'm young. I want to hang out. We all want to hang out. Yeah. And go in a message church on Sunday morning and sit in the very back. And you can't hardly get into the service. You're very standoffish. We wonder why the power of God don't want to move hardly in churches anymore. We wonder why things don't want to happen the way the scripture says they should happen. Again, were we ready to go from church to bride? Now, Brother Brown, let me finish this a minute. Brother Brown says, here, notice now. He says, this means a lot for everybody, a lot of shaking down. Oh my, he gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on what the Lord says. There's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now, Brother Brown said, let me tell you, he said, when somebody can talk you out of this word, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the conditions that shows you do have the Holy Ghost, where come hell or high, or best friend, no friend, or whoever friend, cannot talk you out of it. They come up with this stuff. Brother Branham made all these errors, and he made this, and he did this with his kids. He let his kids do this, and he let Billy Paul did this, and this divorce process with Billy Paul was in when he married his first wife. All of this, and all of this, and all of this. Let me tell you something. Every man of God, except the Lord Jesus Christ, had a human nature about him. Any decent father is going to protect their children from everybody, including me. Every father that's a real father, not just a father, but a father and a daddy. You know there is a difference. Amen. Will protect his children no matter how it goes. You got to remember that, saints. Now, Brother Branham says, notice, there's nobody in the world that can talk you out of this. He says, oh, you're coming into perfect faith, perfect for perfection that cannot fail, a faith that doesn't fail. I'm not just talking about a faith to come up here and get believed to get healed, saints of God. A good Pentecostal can do that. A woman can come up here with bobbed hair and her hair dyed coal black and all this kind of stuff and inch full of makeup on her eyes and everything and earrings down to here and all this and that and the other. Just come up here with a mini skirt on and go-go boo and can stand here and get healed where one of us real believers can't many times. I'm talking about from church to bride. Brother Adam says here, as I was with Moses, listen to this. He said, Jacob, when he was born, being a twin, she called him supplanter. Jacob. But when he got his overcoming power, he got what? Overcoming power. Saints of God, this is what we've got to have. We've got to have overcoming power. And that only comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That only comes from an experience with the Holy Ghost. Three things you have got to overcome. Number one, the world, the devil, and your flesh. Amen. You say, Brother Bo, I can't. You've got to have you've got to have Jesus to do it. The Holy Ghost has got to overcome in your life for you, saints of God. I ain't got no more overcoming power. I just throw my hands up in the air. I don't want to go to church tomorrow. I only go to church because everybody kind of wants me to come to church. My heart's really not there no more. It's gone a couple years ago. Well, if that ain't a sad story. How many people I've talked to are in that condition? Well, I just come. I'm sorry you're like that. I wished it weren't that way. Brother Ryan says here, notice. But when he got overcoming power and wrestled with the angel, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, a prince. Now, saints of God, as we just saw, Jacob was not ready to walk in Israel. He still had issues going in his life. In Genesis chapter 32, he still had all these issues going in his life. He had all these problematic situations, as we call them today. Amen. Years ago, we used to call them sin. Then they got them down to problems. Now they call them issues. Right? When I was growing up in the message, it was called sin. Then they said, well, let's soften it down a little bit and call them problems. Now, you know, we say now issues because they can become challenges. Ooh, and the devil's slick. Right? Now, he wasn't ready. Brother Bill, he wasn't ready. Jacob was not ready to walk in the name Israel that God proclaimed. But God in his grace, because Jacob had that predestinated seed. That's the only reason why, saints of God. He was the elected of God. God had elective love. Let me tell you this. God had elective love for Jacob. And spoke it out again three chapters later. And tells him, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. How many times has God spoke over us through his mercy because we're the elected of this hour and spoke, I call you no longer church, but I call you bride. How many times we weren't walking the walk to walk as bride. As we say today, issues and challenges in our lives wouldn't allow us to walk as bride. Now, church, anything can be church. Church in a sense. Now, Brother Brown said there is church natural and church spiritual. Of course, the bride is church spiritual, amen. She is the church, but she's bride. Amen. Now, church natural, anybody can make up and be a church natural. Anybody can get a group together and form a denomination and mix it with the word and interpret the word according to the way you want to have it interpreted. You can bring Trinitarian doctrine in if you want and have three separate persons in the Godhead, or you can bring two gods in. Now, let me give you this little hunch. I've been studying on the Godhead the last couple weeks. I told Brother Jerry the other day. I said, I've been studying on the Godhead the last couple weeks and doing a very in-depth study. Now, around the message, we would be daresent, as Brother Branham would say, we would be daresent to start preaching Trinity doctrine, wouldn't we? We would be daresent. I would be daresent. I would be daresent to come in here and start saying three persons. But I want to tell you how slick the devil is. So what's he doing now with message folks bringing the two-ness doctrine? It's running rapid, Brother Phil. It was pulled on me a little while ago. Well, you know, Brother Bo, it's two. And, you know, God is the Father, and he's all powerful, and Jesus is the Son. And therefore, Jesus, Brother Jerry, has to go to God. Now, before he can heal you, Jesus has to go to God and ask God if he can heal you. I'm going to tell you, around the time of Constantine in 325 AD, there was a priest by the name of Arian. And Arian actually created this two-God doctrine that said that God the Father was supreme in all and all-powerful, and he made Jesus lesser. And that was the big ramble to have the Nicene Council. And do you realize Jehovah's Witness doctrine takes that? And a lot of message folks are coming up with that same thing. It's out there. You know what I call it? Heresies. And it snatches people away that don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, here we for years, Brother Horner for years, we have said, and it is true, it's nothing wrong. We have quoted, Brother Bill, by their fruits, we shall know them. And we say love, peace, joy, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, patience, kindness, all of this. Good fruits, amen. But Brother Branham comes up when he's preaching the anointed ones at the end time. And remember, the seals, more and more word after the seals were broken and come forth, more and more word was unfolded for the next 3 years, 63, 64, and 1965. This is why marriage and divorce, amen, did not come out of a book, did not come out of a denomination. It comes straight from heaven. Can I get amen on that? Somebody told Brother Donnie Reagan they wish to God they were sorry Brother Branham ever preached marriage and divorce. And they said Brother Branham confessed it himself. That is a lie. Brother Branham said, God gave me this on the mountain. Now, you know, people believe lies quicker and more so than the truth, saints of God. Just, Brother Bill, just let a lie get started on you and more people will believe about a lie about you than they will the truth about you. So here, you know, this two-God doctrine is slipping in more around the message. And like I said, if you can't see Jesus, who he really is, amen. If you can't see Brother Branham, who he really is, if you can't see yourself in Christ, who you really are, you're going to miss it. Now, Brother Branham tells us here, and he goes over to Galatians 6:16, if you could turn in your Bibles with me. Now, Brother Branham comes up while you're turning there in Anointed Ones at the end time, and he says, by their fruits we shall know them. Now, for years, as I just said, we have believed and preached it that, you know, as long as a man or woman has love, peace, joy, then they're good life and they live good and nice and they're kind and sweet and they're not hateful and this kind of that and the other. It's not snappy and bitter and, you know, all the how people can be so ugly sometimes. But let's leave that there, but let's elevate it by revelation to a higher point. Brother Branham said, we shall know them by their doctrines. Now keep in mind, love, peace, joy, Brother Phil, that's all part of it now. But you can have the nicest Baptist. When I worked at Social Security, Brother Phil, 5 years ago, we had this Baptist boy in his 30s, is my daughter's age. He's got married a wonderful wife, and they're very, 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 very dedicated Baptists. I mean, they pray, and they do a lot of things message folks don't do. I mean, you know, he talks about the Lord all the time. And we would have a staff meeting, and the first thing he would say, I want everybody to know I'm a Christian. And all of that is wonderful. He'd come up to me and he said, you know, aren't you going to preach somewhere this weekend? I said, yeah, I am. He said, well, look, I'm certainly going to be praying for you. I mean, really, really, really. You know, some of us message folks don't even have that kind of a dedication. Come on, you know how we are, saints. And, oh, my. But then his wife would come in and bring the baby in and everything, and she'd have pants on and eye makeup on, cut hair and everything. And, okay, you know, my mother would say, my grandmother would say, show me your wife and I'll show you what type of person you are. Well, as time went on, we would start talk about furtherance of the word and different things. And he would say, oh, my. I see that, but aren't you kind of Pentecostal? I said, yeah. I said, I want to tell you right away, I'm Pentecostal. I'm not Pentecostal by denomination. I'm not Pentecostal by doctrine. I'm Pentecostal by experience. Right there, this nice little Jason, who's so kind, Brother Bill, so sweet, so loving, oh, so gentle, and oh my, he would turn into a roar lion. His face would become red. You Pentecostal people, you lead people away about salvation. You teach to them that that's an emotion. I said, no, I don't. And he went on and we went on and went on. A little bit, get into the Godhead. Whoa. You better not touch that three Trinity doctrine now. See, in other words, amen, you shall know them by their fruits. Watch their doctrines. Amen. Watch their doctrines. He lets his wife cut her hair, wear pants, wear makeup, look like a Jezebel, earrings, all this kind of stuff on her. Amen. What? Look what he is allowing. Well, now they come up with this thing. Now I'm going to be a little on the side a minute. They come up with this thing. My wife won't listen to me. She wants to wear pants and smoke her cigarettes. You mean you let your wife do that? You message brother, you let your wife do that? Sure, God's going to hold her responsible, but he's going to hold you more responsible for letting her do that. Whew, come on, saints, we want to call ourselves bride. Now, can I get to Galatians 6:16? Somebody needed that. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God right now? The church of the living God, saints of God. Paul declares who we are. This is me. This is me. This is you. You say, Brother Bo, he was preaching it to the Galatians, but he was taking those people to a spiritual level and telling them, you're just not a church where anything goes on, where all these false doctrines can come on. Come on, saints. He is saying, you are the Israel of God. Come on, saints, I'm going to tell you something. I said this years ago and people get mad at me. If God allows all this false doctrine around this message to go in the rapture, then he's got to apologize to the First United Pentecostals, the Church of God, and all that for their tongues and things. We send Church of God people, Assemblies of God people, Church of Jesus Christ people, United Pentecostals, we send them to hell because they believe tongues is the evidence. Yet we come up with all this false doctrine around the mess and we think we're going to make it in. We send the Baptists to hell for their once saved, always saved, and their Trinitarian doctrine and their Trinitarian Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But look what we do many times, come up with all this false doctrine. That's not bride material, saints. Bride material stays with what Malachi 4 preached to us and the revelation of it. Amen. I thank God that I still have a mind, and especially not a mind, but a heart to still follow this message. I thank God for this message. I thank God that he called me. Let me tell you, you can't choose to be in this message. You can choose to be Baptist. You can choose to be Jehovah's Witness. You can choose to be Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, Church of God, Assemblies of God. You can choose to be that. But you've got to be elected and chosen for this already. You can't choose this. You have to be chosen. God has to foresee by his foreknowledge and elect, call you, foreordain, predestinate you to come to this. You didn't stumble into, well, I stumbled into this message, and I don't know, I wish to God, maybe I hadn't. I wish to God this, I wish to God that. Let me tell you, you sorry outfit, you. God called you to this. God drew you to this. God elected you, selected you, first class. Well, you know, I can choose to do what I want. I can choose to cut my hair. I can choose to wear a long dress if I want. I can, instead of going to church, I can play golf, goofing off. Or, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, as we move on, and we'll hit this. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. How many thank God for his mercy and grace? Amen. That we have, our eyes have been unveiled, saints of God. Amen. The word is so pure and we love it. Amen. Oh, my. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, isn't that kind of strong? Who does Paul think he is? I mean, come on now. Paul got some nerve. Trinitarians say, and two God people say, now Jesus is going to present you to God. I mean, don't you think Paul's taking a lot into his hands? Now they use the same thing now with Brother Branham. I was talking to a woman, and she was telling me last week, she called me on the phone. She said, I've got your name as a referral to come to your church. And she said, different people have lied on you and said this about you and said this about you, right, Brother David? And you know, this and that and the other. And she said, my husband sat under a message preacher, and he's defected. The preacher's defected. And she said, he has destroyed my husband. I've got 5 kids. He has destroyed my one son and my husband. And my husband tells me, Brother Branham took too much upon himself. He pointed people to himself, and he took too much upon himself. Well, let me tell you, she must have the Holy Ghost or something more in her than what the rest of them got, because she said, so did Paul. So did Paul. Every man of God says that. Every man of God who knows who they are says that. As a matter of fact, Brother Bill, Paul said, this world will be judged by my gospel. Anybody got a problem with that? Not me. I love it. And then Brother Branham comes on and says, I preach the same thing Paul preached. And all the saints in the sixth dimension hollered out, we're resting on that. We're resting on that. I preach what Paul preached. If Paul goes in and the world is judged by his gospel, I'm going in with mine too. Paul just knew who he was. You can get mad at me if you want. West Tennessee. Some of y'all know the people in West Tennessee. West Tennessee people are going to be judged by the gospel that Brother Bo Smeaton preaches. And they're going to have to stand at the day of judgment and give an account why they stormed out of my church and why they refused to come to my church. They may be your best friends. I don't care. They're going to be judged by my gospel. You say, Brother Bo, you're taking a lot of punishment. I am. It's time that we come out who we are, say. Now the world's coming out who they are. The gays are coming out who they are. It's time for the bride to come out who she are. I'm coming out. I'm not church. Now they want church. They want church out there, over there. The old ones come in with their canes and their walkers, and oh my, they could care less about a pastor. They've hated pastors all their life. They split up 99 churches throughout their days of being in a message. They want healing. They're crippled up and all that, and thank God he can heal us. Amen. That is one. They want you to save. They want you to save their kids that's on their way to hell. Amen. They want you to save their grandkids and their great grandkids that are walking in the world in hell. But they could care less about sitting under a pastor. It's time the bride comes out and says who she is. I'm bride. Well, Brother Bo, you did this. Is that all I do? Is that all? Is that all? Show me where. Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. I'm jealous over you. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is of Christ. For if he cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Let me give you one more in Galatians, I believe. Paul said, if an angel or anybody else comes and preaches anything other than what I have spoken, let him be accursed. Tell you, saints, there's only one message. There's only one heaven. There's not a heaven portion for two soul people, two God people, seven thunder people, tent people, Joseph Branham people, stay at home take people. There's not separate compartments in heaven for those type people. Because remember, whatever spirit that's occupying you right now, and you happen to die and fall dead right now, that's what you take over on the other side. Whatever's engulfing your spirit right now, whether it be unbelief or belief, should you fall dead right now, that's what goes over on the other side with you. You take that with you. And you either end up in two places, one or the other. Oh, let me bring this down here. Brother Branham told us what we are. He told us who we are. We had a prophet of God that had a gift in his life. That God, from the back of God's mind, could come and transmit revelation, knowledge, and visions to a prophet already on earth. And Brother Branham would transmit that back as the voice and take it out to the people, telling us who we are. Brother Branham said here, notice, invisible union of the bride, coming up 50 years in November. He said, your first husband that you were married to, the world. The anointed bridegroom, which foreordained you, in other words, predestinated you, has washed you by the washing of the water by the church? No. That doesn't sound right. You might find that in an almanac, you might, but you don't find it in God's Bible. By the washing of the water by the word, and the word, see, you are standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. Now let me read this a little bit more. Before the Holy Ghost gets really a hold of me right now, before I have a spell. You are pure, virtuous, sinless. You are the bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born to the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, believes every word of God, stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You're perfect. You're perfect. You're perfect. Well, let me ask you this. What's the first place? Saints, what's the first place? I used to wrestle this, Brother Jerry, for years. Now, am I right? Once a virginity is taken from a young girl or a woman, she can never reclaim her virginity again, can she? It's a done deal. True, she makes mistakes. God can forgive her. She can repent. But then if she ever chooses to get married, she's got to sit down and tell her husband, her future bridegroom, what happened. And he has a choice of accepting her or rejecting her. Right? Am I in the word or out of the word? So, if I was a sinner, Brother Phil, married to a denomination. Now, true, we went to the Church of Jesus Christ till I was 12 years old, which is a denomination, their oneness. They believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they, in other words, anybody ever heard of Jesus only? It is a denomination. I was married to that. Okay? Was I married to the word? No, I was married to part of the word. I was married to hybrid. So how could I get my virginity back? Now, Brother Bob said we got to be a virgin. Let me ask you, what part of me was married to that? The old man or the new man? So when the old man is killed by the fire of the Holy Ghost, that's the man that is an adulterer. That's the man and woman that's not a virgin. So what is the part of you that's virgin? It's that predestinated attribute, germ seed of life that came from God before the foundation of the world. Amen. And an angel brought it to your mama when she was carrying to you. And when that baby, when you come out of your mama's womb, that germ life seed went into that baby. That's the thing that never sinned in the first place. That's how, Brother Bill, that's how we become virgin. That won't marry a denomination. That won't marry false doctrine. That won't marry hybrid religion. That won't marry Jezebel religion. That's the germ of life that may have hid for years inside of you. That's the germ of life. Maybe it came to life when you were 10 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old, 21 years old. Amen. 30 years old. 40 years old, 50 years old. Don't give up on people, saints. When me and Joyce were back in Baltimore, we were young and we were going to church back then, and we were first married and everything. There was this young boy in church. He was a couple years older than us. Real Brother David Ferrari. He was Italian. Oh my. Oh, he was always excited about the Lord. Of course, he ended up backsliding. He had a rough marriage. His wife divorced him. He remarried. She remarried. Everybody's tangled up and everything. He left the message, left the word, just left everything, okay? But he used to get up, Brother Bill, and testify. Now, you know, before we all knew how to really handle a church, before we had a revelation of church order, it takes a revelation. Because if you approach church order without a revelation, you'll end up having you'll have a cold, formal, intellectual church. Amen. How many times the people over there I have told, I will not pastor a cold, formal, dead, intellectual church. And, of course, you know, every service we had testimony service. And he used to get up. And this is good. Now listen to me. This is good. I'm not mocking. I'm not being sacrilegious. Oh, I thank God for saving me. 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 I thank God he saved me. He would go on. Brother Bill, he would just go on. Thank God he saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Okay. But, you know, we're message folks. Thank God he predestinated me. Thank God I saw my name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God because this message has called me. Like Brother Branham said in the six seals, he said when he was preaching the seals, questions and answers on the seals, he said it's not that the Bible said Orm and Neville will be called out in this particular age. But when you can see and you see this message clearly by revelation, it means your name is being called. When you see it by revelation, when you can see it, that's a sign, a signal that he's calling your name in that book. Remember, Brother Jerry, when he came down in Revelation 10, it was a little book. It wasn't a big book. It had only the bride's names in it. Only the bride can worship under the seventh seal. Rest of the world today is worshiping under the sixth seal because they're going into tribulation. I told the church 20 years ago, all you people that saying the seventh seal is not open, it's not revealed, Brother Bram's got to come back and open it in a tent and all this kind of thing, and then the seventh seal will be open. I said, where are you? If the seventh seal is not, where are you worshiping now? You're worshiping under the sixth seal. I will not, Brother Phil, I refuse to worship under a tribulation seal. Brother Brown said he's coming directly in Revelation 10. He's coming directly to get the church, the bride. He said, church, the bride. And then he's going directly to Israel in Revelation 11. The little book means it's not too many names in it, is it? Now, the book of life has a lot of names in it. If I was supposed to die in the morning and a man took my place, I cannot die for that sin. Somebody took my place and Jesus, the Word, took my place. Now look how Brother Branham identifies Jesus. See, the denominations in the churches today will tell you this. Everybody's okay. You're okay. Oh, everything's okay. Just, you know, everything's okay no matter what your problems are. We don't worry about your clothes. We don't worry about this. We don't worry about this or that or the other. Just look to Calvary. Look to the cross. Everything's taken care of at the cross. Everything's okay. Everything's, you know, after the service, so we're all going to have donuts and coffee downtown and downstairs and we'll have juicy juices for the kids or whatever they might like. And oh, and it just the fellowship is so warm and wonderful. But, you know, just look to Jesus and his cross. Well, that's good. What about your cross? Jesus talked more about your cross than he did his own cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. If you're not willing to forsake mother, father, sister, brother, all on down the line, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Take up your cross. He talked more about your cross than he did his own cross. Notice how Brother Branham positions Jesus. Jesus, the Word. I cannot die for that sin. Somebody took my place. Jesus, the Word, took my place. He became me, that a sinner, that I might become him, the Word. The Word. Let me hold true to it, not the church, the Word. Oh, that spiritual union of Christ in his church now. When the flesh is becoming the Word, and the Word is becoming flesh. Where are we at right now? Brother Bill, what cycle are we in right now? The flesh is becoming the Word, and the Word is becoming flesh. What cycle are we in right now? Brother, I'm talking about we're moving into that seventh seal cycle. What cycle are we in? The flesh is becoming the Word, and the Word is becoming flesh. Oh, that spiritual union. He said, manifested, vindicated. Just what the Bible said would happen in this day. It's happening day by day, where the Word becomes the Word. I prayed about this for years, about this quote. Where the Word becomes the Word. Huh? Brother Bill, huh? Wait a minute, let's all get together and we'll vote on it. We'll do like the Council of Nicaea. They voted on it. So we'll get all the church together. Now, what's your vote? Now, what's your vote? Okay, we got a majority that says this is what we're going to be the doctrine. I'm going to tell you, saints of God, you don't vote any kind. I realize we vote trustees, we vote deacons, we vote the pastor in, amen. And that's getting too much almost now. Many are voted in by not people that don't have the Holy Ghost. A man of God has to be sent first before the Holy Ghost approves his ministry in a certain area. Because people can run and vote and we'll have 49 against or 49 for and one against, and those 49 people will be the first 49 to go out that door and stomp their feet and talk about you like a dog. It's a man that's called, that's sent, not went. No doctrine is brought up before a congregation to be voted upon. No doctrine, zero. A pastor has full authority of the church. What God has revealed to him to preach accordingly to thus saith the Lord. Well, Brother Bo, we got 48 people against two people that want tent doctrine preached, where Brother Bram's coming down in a literal tent, and it's going to be a canvas tent that's going to be put up here, there, and every there, and they got this in the airplane all readied up, and this is what we want you to preach because we voted. I said, let me tell you, then I'm not pastor here no more. I will not preach anything like that. You don't vote doctrine into a church. That's how they ended up with Trinity doctrine at the Council of Nicaea. Brother Adam said, where the Word becomes the Word. Now listen, you are the Word. Because you have an attribute of God, you have a word seed gene inside of you, amen. You have now a soul that's born of God, amen. You have a new nature about you. Your gene has taken effect. Brother Bill, you just said a little while ago, it was quickened. That's the Word. And you have been feeding it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, amen, until it fills. And it's ready to be united with the Word. The Word becomes the Word. This is what Brother Ram said. The Word becomes the Word. The Word becomes the Word. Actually, I'll put it this way. You are the feminine portion of God. Remember, he, out on the day of Pentecost, would come out of his side, the bride. You are the feminine portion of God. So he, as the bridegroom, has to come and unite with you. You have to be the Word in feminine. He has to be the Word in masculine. You have to be the Word as bride. He has to be the Word as groom. See, denominations can't do this. False doctrine can't do this. Two God doctrine around the message is not going to unite with him. He never said he was second. He never said he was less powerful than God. Matter of fact, after he rose and took on a glorified body, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is given under me. I told a man that called me on the phone for hours. He tried to get me to believe two God doctrine. I said, brother, then Jesus lied to us. Because he said, all power, where? In heaven and in earth. Jesus don't have to ask anybody. He don't have to ask his mother. He don't have to ask Paul or Brother Branham or Peter. He said, I'm the first and the last. I am that I am. Let me close with this. You're standing completely. You never sinned in the first place. Now, wait a minute. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. How can that be said? I know I've sinned in my life. I know I've done things wrong. But what part of me never sinned? That part here. That germ of life. That predestinated seed. Never, never, never sinned. The sadder man. God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. See, saints of God, since the seal's open, can't you see? Don't you see how deeper we are in justification, Brother Jerry? Justification under Luther was come to the altar, ask God to forgive you. He will. He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, but they can never tell you. Luther could never tell you this. Luther could never tell you there's a word seed gene that's predestinated only in the elect of God that stays there. It come before the foundation of the world, and God saw to it that an angel put it when your mother delivered you. Y'all believe this, right? Luther, Wesley come up with sanctification and long dress, long hair. Oh, that's wonderful. But guess what? Many still had the long tongue and the law and the hateful nature. Come on now. Brother Branham said, what is it? There's two things in your heart, a snake and a dove. Amen. That dove's the one that never sinned, but that's the snake that sinned. See, you can go all the way to sanctification, all the way, long grass, long hair. Look, we say amen to that. Believe it. Amen. And still have that snake in your heart. See, Wesley, Brother Phil never preached this. Brother Branham brings this out in Future Home. He said it takes the fire of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to kill that snake in your heart so that dove can reign and fly around. See, that dove attaches itself to that germ, seed, word germ attribute in you, that predestinated part. So the dove can prevail. Because that dove's only going to lead you to the lamb. The serpent won't. Yeah, see? And then we come greater than Pentecost. Pentecost said it was tongues and the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost or some type of emotion. No, we come up higher. Amen. We come up higher. Amen. With a real experience of God that gravitates you to the Word and to the Word only. That's why we worship Brother Jerry under the seventh seal. Luther's day, it was good for that day. Come to the altar, repent. Amen. But you got to get that thing out of you that repentance, let me tell you this, repentance only cuts off what you did previously. It cuts off which you did previously. It's nothing to the future. Therefore, you've got to get that snake out of the heart. Too many people claiming to believe this message got serpents in their heart, I want to tell you. And they will devour you as quick as this. Ask me how I know. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really from the beginning you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. You're standing there washed. Your old book of divorcements put away and is dead. Absolutely out of existence. Even in the mind of God, you are the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride. Let me tell you, Brother Bram's speaking right here. That's the Son of Man speaking. That's a prophet of God. That's Brother Branham speaking, but that's the Son of Man speaking to us. Oh, he said, notice how that he washed by the water of his own blood that become flesh and manifested that he might take you, which you were predestined. See, you got to be predestined, saints. In the bosom of the Father before the foundation of the world, the same as he was. Think your garments are washed by the water of the bleeding word. Now, wait a minute. The word becomes blood. The blood becomes the water of the word. That's why it's important to be under the word. I'll stay home and play tapes. God's going to hold you. If you do that, God's going to hold you for accountable for 1,188 tapes, everything that is said, if you won't come to church and sit under a pastor. I'll stay home, Brother Bo, and play tapes. Okay? Then God's going to hold you accountable to every one of them. He's going to hold you accountable for this. How come you can't come to this? Well, you know, I don't even know if I got the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I very few got it. Yeah. Well, I don't know about very few. I believe we're in an hour when people are really getting the Holy Ghost. The word bleeding, the life of God in the word, and the word was bled for you, that you might be washed from the filth of these prostitutes. Be clean, sanctified by the washing of the water by the word that makes your mind and heart stayed on God, on his word. I no longer call you church. I call you bride. Your mind is on him. As I said, you may have heard me say this before. We say we love the Lord. I love the Lord tonight. I was thinking about coming over here, and I was thinking about last night how much I love the Lord. Oh, God, I love the Lord so much. All right, but let's come up higher. How many is in love with the Lord? How many is really in love with him? How many want to be this? You say, Brother Bo, I just can't. I'm too this or too that. Then ask God to help you. He will. He said he's a help in a present time of need. Oh God, we all come through obstacles and hard times and things and hard ways, and the world's pressing so hard. But let me tell you this. The Bible says, Paul says over in Romans, where sin abounds, I realize everything is out in the open right now. All right? Everything is out in the open no matter what. Whether you're gay, straight, bi, whatever, drunk, alcoholic, drug addict, whatever, it's all okay. All right, everything's okay. Where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. Well, Brother Bo, grace means he's going to let you get away with it and God will turn his back. That's not grace, saints of God. God is where he sends a power down. He sends a power down and delivers you from it. Look, Jacob wasn't ready to walk in this, but he came again and sent a power down. There was times when I wasn't ready to walk in it either. You weren't ready to walk in it. How many got your mind made up tonight? You got your heart set right? How many's ready for this? See, church, you can make anything. We're going to have a pastor selection council. It's going to be Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, and they're going to go out and choose the pastor. They're going to search for a pastor. See, that's the church. Well, we're going to have this special choir, and we're all going to get choir robes and everything because it looks neater and everything. You know, you really, when you wear choir robes, you really don't have to worry about what you wear to church. You know, you put a robe over it. That's the church. Or we're going to preach two-ness doctrine or three-ness doctrine or this doctrine or that. That's the church. See? That's the church. That's not the bride. But the bride comes back to the lineup of the word. This is the word. And it gives her overcoming power to overcome the world, the devil, and this right here. I just read, Brother Branham said, the reason why we can't have revival hardly anymore because nobody's overcoming anymore. Back in May on Mother's Day, when I stood here and prayed for Brother Jerry, Brother Jerry got slain in the spirit, Brother Bill, right here. I turned around, I didn't even see him fall. And I said, don't worry, saints, that's just the power of God. See, message folk, we're not used to that. It's a strange thing many times. We think a person's sick or having a heart attack or a stroke or something, but that was the power of God. I want to tell you, not only did that touch him, something stepped down inside of me from over here, Brother David. Somewhere, something stepped down inside, and it hasn't left me yet.
That's good, bro.
Brother Bill, it hadn't left me yet. Good. Something stepped inside of me. Things that were bothering me, things that were bothering preachers, yes. Don't bother me no more. Overcoming power.
That's good.
Yeah. May we stand tonight. From church to bride. Anybody has a need from the Lord tonight? He's more than able to help you in your need, to help you in a time of need, to help you have greater overcoming power, to help you so the Holy Spirit can clear your mind and clear your heart so he can reveal himself to you more greatly than he already has. We all need that, don't we? We all need a greater touch. We all need a greater anointing. We all need to be more powerful. We all need to be, as Brother Branham said, the flesh becoming the word and the word becoming flesh. That means walking more and more and more. As he said, this is bride material now. Bride material now. This is bride material now. Walking, 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 walking. If you have a need from the Lord tonight, we're more than willing to pray for you. If you need a help in the time of need, he's there to extend his grace to you, his mercy, his love, his spirit, so wonderful, sheltered in his arms, in his presence, so wonderful, so wonderful. I appreciate God so much, saints of God. Thanking God how he has sustained me through great times of trouble, through this movement now. 10 years ago, this movement wasn't in play like it is now. There's a defectors movement that's strong. It's posted everywhere. It's plastered everywhere. Then over top of that, there's this ecumenical thing that's going to come down. And one of the big things they're going to force on people like us is Trinity doctrine. Because the Council of Nicaea said that anyone that does not believe in Trinity doctrine is a heretic. That was in 325 AD when Constantine made Catholicism the state religion. And that went into the Pergamos church age, as Brother Branham said. What's Pergamos mean? Marriage. What happened? Marriage of church and state. The Pope, for the first time, came and sat in the United States Capitol, where the laws are made. Before the House of Representatives, a joint session of Senate, House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, and the Vice President, who's over the Senate. And the Pope of Rome spoke where the laws were, joining church and state together. And then in 381, the Emperor Theodosius I made a proclamation that anyone that's not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is a heretic. Anyone that does not accept Trinity doctrine is a heretic. And the church has a right to take the life of a heretic. That's what's coming on us, saints. People like us that say it's a fact that God and Christ are one. There shall be light about the evening time. The path of glory you shall surely fly. It's the waterway. It's the light today. Baptized in Jesus' name. Young and old, repent of all your sins. And the Holy Ghost will enter in. For the evening time has come. It's a fact that God and Christ are one. They're going to come out. Saints, it's come on now. We're prepared. We're prepared people for this. That's why we've got to get out of here. Do you realize the tribulation is going to be hell on earth? We see movies of the Holocaust and we read about the Holocaust. Ain't nothing compared to it. Brother Ram said that was pre-tribulation under the fifth seal. Wait till this hits. Amen. Oh, let's just love him tonight. Amen. Brother Jerry, will you come take the service? Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many is in love with him? I want to go with Jesus all the way. All the way. All the way with him, saints. I love him too much to turn back now. Amen. I love him too much. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Created me a clean heart, oh Lord, and renew right spirit within me.
Overcomers in this life.
overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made Christ.
Take up your cross.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Take up your cross and follow him. Why don't you take up your cross and follow Jesus? Take up your cross every day. Oh, don't be ashamed. And follow him. Why don't you take up your cross and follow Jesus? Oh, take up your cross, oh, every day. Don't be ashamed.
So remember, we're going to be having service tomorrow night as well at 7. On Saturday after service, we're going to be having a soup and sandwich dinner afterwards. If we have all the sisters to meet with Sister Mina. Let's be dismissed this time.